I've started recording, Mayor, if you want to go ahead.
All right, thank you. It is October 14th, 2020, and it is 4 p.m. So I'm going to call this City Council meeting to order. And if you are standing or would like to stand, we rarely get to do this while we're doing Zoom, but if you would like to join me in saying the Pledge of Allegiance. So I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you. And we'll go through the roll call. So I'll begin with our Mayor Pro Tem and Councilman Jared Couch.
Here.
Councilman Glenn Allen.
Here.
Councilman Brendan McGoffin. Okay. Councilman Carl DeYoung. Councilwoman Brenda Kinzer.
Present.
Council member Joellen Kesty.
Present.
And Councilman Chuck Owen.
Present.
Mayor, Carl is here. He's just muted. I don't know if you got that.
Oh, no, I didn't. Okay, thank you. Appreciate you letting me know. Okay, I am looking for an approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion?
Madam Mayor, I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Okay. Second, Councilman Owen.
Okay. So I have a motion by Councilwoman Kinzer and seconded by Councilman Owen. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Same call? All right, motion carries. Consent agenda, looking for a motion for the consent agenda items 1 through 6.
Madam Mayor, I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda, kind of 1 through 6.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, second it, okay.
I have a motion by Councilman Owen, seconded by Councilman Allen. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. All right, motion carries. And we will move straight into staff reports, and we'll begin with Fire Chief Dean Klinger.
Good afternoon, Council and Mayor. Not much to report. We did have an interesting call yesterday. We were called by the hospital in regards to someone setting fire to themselves downtown at Hammer Heritage Park. Basically what happened, someone went in, sat down, poured some accelerants on themselves and lit it on fire. They then drove themselves to the hospital, and that's where we were notified from. Other than that, it's been pretty much things as normal.
All right, thank you. Lieutenant Dan McElroy.
Yeah, nothing to add. I think Chief Klinger covered that. So nothing further on my end.
Okay. Did you want to talk a little bit about the drug take back? I know you're going to participate in that, and I'm doing the proclamation for it tonight. So up to you.
Sure thing. Sure thing. Yeah. Drug Take Back Day is October 24th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We're going to be doing a drive-through area in front of City Hall on Metcalf Street. Any prescription drugs and such that that need to be disposed of, we don't want them remaining in the houses and stuff for kids to have access to and such. So this is a good opportunity to go ahead and get rid of all of your old prescription drugs that you aren't using any longer. Go ahead and spread the word. In addition, there's also a drop-off box, Monday through Friday at the Cedar Valley Police Department, and also one at Schaffner Pharmacy should you not be able to make this event or need to get rid of these items at a later time.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay.
Just a question for you. Are you going to have those little packets diffuse prescription drugs also available?
I'm not sure what exactly you mean.
Had some little packets down at your shop a few years ago that you can put old prescriptions and put them in, and they basically deactivate them and make it safer to put in.
Actually, what we have now at the police department is, we actually have free mail-in. So there's a package you can pack up your medications and send off in the mail. It goes to that location. They dispose of it there. So, no, we don't have anything as far as we
put. Okay, yeah. Well, thank you. No, these were a little packet that you would put in water or something, and then you could add prescription medications and stuff, and it would deactivate them, and then they'd be safe to dispose of. But
no, as far as drug take back day, all the prescriptions get put in a box. I log them into evidence, and then they get picked up through the National Drug Take Back Day postage and stuff. So it has a place where it goes and gets disposed properly.
Okay.
You sharing something with us, Carl?
Oh, Carl, I think you were connected twice on audio. So just
connect. Yeah, this Apple format isn't working out for me, so I'm trying other things.
They're both still connected.
Yeah, that's correct, and I'm trying to disconnect one of them. Please stand by.
Okay, Director of Public Works, Mark Freiberger.
Thank you, Mayor. The Westland Widening Project. Westland Widening Project is 100% complete now, and of course, if you've driven by there, the county is fully involved in the preliminary stages of the Behavioral Health Campus construction there with Faber Construction. So the project came out pretty good. The only issue we had a few motorists that drove through the fresh paint. So there's a little bit of extra marking at the two driveway approaches, but that's minor and will fade over time. Other things, I'll just give you an update on the wastewater treatment plant electrical improvements project, which we bid back in August. We've got a preliminary schedule from the contractor now, and it looks like with the equipment lead time, we'll be looking at construction between January and March next year to finish that. That's about what we expected with the lead time on the major pieces of electrical equipment they had to acquire for that. So that's looking okay. We have a small project that bids tomorrow, closes tomorrow, to rehab our Cook Road pump station, under $50,000 project. So we'll award that and get it going and report that out to you at the next council meeting. Nathan's been finishing the small parts of the Hauser Park project. And if you haven't had a chance to go out and take a look at that, it's open during the day, the walking trail parts. About, I think he told me about 2,800 feet around the loop there. It's a nice little walk around the edge of the park. And that's open for folks to use and have been using it. Folks have been using that. He's dealing with a few irrigation issues with the contractor to get that tuned up, but the grass is really greened up out there for the most part. That's looking pretty good. Bathrooms, he has a fixture scheduled in the next week or so on that. And once that's finished, that part of the project will also be done. And then he'll be down just to a trash dumpster enclosure, and the project will be 100% complete. I've also been communicating with BNSF. We're still waiting for them to send us back the latest round of contracts for that. Obviously, they're not going to do anything this year. We have until June, the end of June next year, to complete the project with our current funding. So I'm trying to keep the ball rolling on that. They've been experiencing their own problems due to COVID-19 with much lower track usage, and have had some disarray with layoffs among their crews and stuff. At this point, we still think we're okay for them to get that done, but we'll continue that conversation. And the sewer comp plan is scheduled to come to you with the comprehensive plan docket, and I think that's going to be the first meeting in November now, and I'll do a little presentation when we get to that point. That's all I had.
All right, thank you. Always lots of moving parts. Thank you, Mark. Director of Building and Permits, John Coleman.
Good afternoon. So as Mark mentioned earlier, the Skagit Stabilization Campus has been issued their site construction plans. So they're starting civil improvements on utilities and dirt work out at the stabilization campus. And we've got all the permits in place for the building as well. We're just waiting for the county to pick up their permits and pay for them, and then they can start with that construction too. Typically, they'll work on the site improvements for a while before they start doing any building plans, building construction. So they may maybe a couple of weeks or months before they start anything related to the building itself. We're close to issuing a permit for a new fuel station and convenience store at the corner, the southeast corner of Cook and Trail Road. So kind of a standard gas and convenience store there on that currently vacant lot. And as Mark mentioned, also related to the 2020 docket, the Planning Commission will be discussing the Reed Street rezone, the Reed Street to park, to public zoning at the October meeting. We didn't end up having enough time to do any good notice of public hearing for that. So I'm going to continue that at the November Planning Commission meeting as well, so we can get notice out to the neighbors, get a sign out there, send some direct mailers to everybody within 500 feet so everybody in the neighborhood's aware of what is going on. And so what that means is the rest of the 2020 docket items, which are two private rezone requests and Mark's sewer comprehensive plan update, will also be delayed in coming to the council. Like I mentioned at the previous meeting, all of those comp plan items need to come to the council in one package. So now we're looking at that would be at the end of November, or more likely early December, because of the last city council meeting in November is moved up a day to the 24th. So time frames around once the holiday, during the holiday time, start to get a little compressed and harder to bring things to the council. So it's more likely to be in December. And that is all I have to report, unless the council has any questions.
All right. Thank you, John. Yeah, I know you guys are becoming quite busy down there in the building department. You've got a lot going on. So thank you. Director of IT, Bill Chambers.
Been plugging away with support for the ADA transition plan and the ADA advisory group. Had the first meeting yesterday and it went really well. Plugging away also on the email migration to hosted exchange. I'm building the structure right now in preparation for migrating the data, and hope to make that live the first or second week of November. Completed building the WIM server and the wastewater treatment plant contractor has been working on that. Bias Cloud seems to be working pretty well. Jill can probably fill in more there. CARES Act purchase documentation for Jill. And the council AV phase one was completed, and we're actually doing a trial recording right now. Glenn is doing the recording there, and I'm recording to the cloud on Zoom. And also working on the door security key card system. And I think that they're going to be back out next week, I believe, to do the server room portion. That's it.
Great, thank you. You guys are busy. I'm excited about the opportunity to finally be back in the chamber. Use the new equipment. That will be nice. Looking forward to that.
It's pretty slick.
Finance manager Jill Scott.
Good afternoon. One of the things we are doing is starting in December, we will be offering a phone payment system for our utility customers. Serena has been working with our billing company, and there'll be an insert that is going out in the November bill. We basically will have two options. When our customers call in, they can, they'll basically be directed when working with Bill to set up in the phone tree, that they will have an option to either go to a live person at Express Bill Pay, or they'll go into an interactive voice response system, and they can just do kind of an automated phone payment. So this is just another way that we're trying to take care of our customers during COVID and beyond, just a fast and convenient way, and another way that they can pay 24/7. So that's been one thing that we're doing. Lots of activity on the CARES grant, just collecting invoices and compiling those for reimbursement. A hosted bias seems to be going well. We do have a couple glitches with reporting, and so we're just trying to work that out with bias. But for the most part, I think it was fairly glitch-free. And continuing to work on budget, and the auditor has been here, or virtually has been here. And other than that, just a lot of behind the scenes busyness.
Thank you, Jill. And regarding the automated bill pay, I think that's fantastic, and nothing like a good pandemic to bring us into the 21st century, huh?
Oh, that's right.
Yep. So City Attorney Nikki Thompson.
Good morning or afternoon. So recently I've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes on some interesting code enforcement issues. It certainly has become a bit more complicated with COVID. I've also done some interesting work on some more complicated public records requests. And this last week I got the legal audit letter to Doug and Mayer and the auditors. Other than that, a lot of work behind the scenes, looking at agreements and assisting in any way that I am helpful.
And you're very helpful. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you.
You're doing a lot of good things. And our city supervisor, Doug Merriman.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got a couple things to talk about. The first is our budget. We are working through all the departments, getting the last of the numbers input and everything in. As Jill mentioned, there's a little bit of a bias snafu right now that we're trying to work through. And once we get that, I think we're moving along fine. We'll kind of know what position we're in, and we can report back to council on that. On the audit front, the auditors gave us a list of things that they're looking at this year. Some of those are looking at our municipal court and the procedures there. They're looking at electronic payments and the securities and everything that we have on those. And then some of our general accounting things, like our indirect cost allocation and some other items like that. So we'll be working into November with them. I think they were projecting, because of doing everything distant like this, it's going to take us to about the middle of November. And then we'll kind of get our report card on how things are looking. So on the COVID front, a couple different things. One is we have September numbers that we're putting together. We'll be sending out to you. a third quarter report for this year. And it'll kind of show how we're tracking, what our revenues are doing, given the oddness of 2020. So we have a couple more days of just getting everything pulled together, and we'll have that out to you by email here pretty soon. Other things with COVID, we're doing a couple of upgrades. You'll see when we get back into City Hall, is one is we're changing our security on the doors. Everything is keyed, and some doors aren't keyed at all. But what we're looking at doing is going to fob access. So people will have a fob change to use. And I've seen the pads on the doors. You just tap the pad and it'll unlock the door. And what it'll do, it gives us a little more security. We're securing some areas that we didn't have that before. And it also gives us a record a little bit of who's going in and out of the building and some different things like that. So we've had to hustle on this one because there's a deadline. The CARES Act will actually pay for this. So Nathan and his crew have been really helpful at jumping in there and pulling wire through the ceiling and getting everything going. So a lot of kudos to Nathan and them for getting that part done. And the other piece that we're doing that we're getting ordered is in the lobby area of City Hall, we have some open counters. They'll be open a little bit, but we will have some clear through panels and things on some of the counters to do that. And that's also a CARES project as well. So a lot of things going on. A lot of these are good things for now, and they'll also be good for us in the future. So that's all that I have for today.
Yeah, thank you, Doug. You do a whole lot more than that. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, I have a question for Doug.
Yes, go ahead.
Doug, do we have any status update or anything for the council in regards to real estate that we discussed at our last council meeting?
There is some work on that. Nikki, one of the things she says she does behind the scenes is she got together a purchase and sale agreement. She sent a draft up to me this week. So we're getting that finalized. Also, from Nikki's firm, we got all the title report information and everything, and we're working on that right now. John Coleman and I were just talking through the rezone process and trying to get a feel for what that calendar looks like. There's a couple of steps we have to go through on a rezone like that. So it's trying to get that information together, and then we can get back to council when we have that calendar finalized. So everything is moving forward right now. The purchase and sale agreement, that is probably one we'll be bringing to you pretty quick because we did want to move on that.
Okay. I appreciate the update. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you, Jared. Okay. So moving into council reports, Jared, we'll take it right back to you.
All right. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I appreciate it. Not a whole lot to report on. There is one thing that I did want to make the council aware of. I don't know, it might be a surprise to some, or some might know that it was coming. But this will, October will be my last month on city council, and I will be resigning my seat at the end of October. I think we're looking through the council governance handbook and RCW. I think it gives plenty of time for the notice and everything to go out. Hopefully you guys can find an outstanding candidate to hopefully fill that role by the first meeting of November. If the mayor will allow me, the last meeting of October, I would like to, you know, give a few, you know, thank yous and kind of a farewell statement. It's been a pleasure. And I look forward to continuing some of my future political endeavors that I have planned. And I just appreciate everybody support. And Madam Mayor, that's all I have at this time.
All right. Well, I know you've already heard it from me, but I'm sure the other council members feel the same way. Your presence is going to be missed. You've been a huge asset on this council, Jared, and hate to see you go. And finding somebody who can fill your shoes, that's going to be a challenge for us. So, and no problem. Next council meeting, absolutely. No problem having you share whatever you'd like to share at that meeting. So thank you, Jared.
Thank you.
Councilman Chuck Owen.
I have nothing, Mayor. Thank you.
All right. Councilman Glenn Allen.
Yes, Madam Mayor. I guess I'm asking after the fact I talked to you. I would like to have an excuse meeting attendance for last planning council meeting. We were online with Seattle Cancer Care, and I've never been on a MediChat sitting in a waiting room for 45 minutes on a computer. But anyway, I was unable to attend the planning council meeting. So if that can be excused, that would be great.
So we did do that for you.
Okay.
We did. I asked somebody to make a motion and they did. So it was unanimous, not a problem. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Certainly, you know, whatever you need to do, you and Jill, just let us know.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you, Mayor.
And speaking of which, so you mentioned this and now I recall I am remiss. Last week I was supposed to also ask for the council to excuse Councilman Owen, Chuck Owen. It was their anniversary and he had told me in plenty of time and it's not written down. Usually I forget and I did not do that. So why don't we do that right now so I don't forget. Is there somebody who will be willing to make a motion to excuse
Chuck? Madam Mayor, this is Councilmember DeYoung. I'd like to move the excused absence of Councilmember Chuck Owen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor. Okay. Councilman Allen.
So we have a motion by Councilman DeYoung and seconded by Councilman Allen to excuse Councilman Owen from last week's meeting due to he asked for permission and he let us know it was an anniversary. So signified by saying aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Thank you for accommodating me that way. So moving on to Councilman DeYoung.
Thank you. Ward 6, we've had a bit of a wind come through. Didn't see anything major blow down or power lines coming down this time. River's coming up a little bit, but it's within its boundaries, which is good. And we see some utility work happening down on State Street. So some flaggers happening there near Township and State. And it looks like folks are being safe. I do want to take a point of personal privilege that has been just a great honor to serve with Councilmember Couch on the council. And I wish him well in all of his future endeavors. And is a fantastic leader and look forward to seeing him continue public service. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And Councilwoman Brenda Kinzer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I want to say thank you to yourself, Madam Mayor, for sending out the picture of the damage at the Northern State Cemetery. That's really disheartening to see that. And I really wish, you know, if we'd been up there to be able to have our work parties this year, we could have kept a better eye on it. But with COVID, it wasn't a reality. So I hope he can repair that. I hope Nathan's team can repair that easily. It looked like it was just a matter of setting that stone back in place. Was that all?
So let's go to Director Mark Freiberger. He might be able to answer that. It was Nathan thoughtfully sent it to me and I did forward it to you. So Director Freiberger?
Yes, I really haven't talked about that with Nathan, so I'm not certain about the damage. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Anyway, thank you for sharing that with us. And hopefully with the bad weather, it lessens the damage up there, lessens a little bit. Until we can get back up there and take care of it more. Yeah. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Brenda. And Councilwoman Joellen Casti.
I don't have anything to report other than to take time to say to Councilmember Jared Couch that the short time that I did get to work with you, I really had a good time, and I wish you success in your future endeavors. So
All right. Thank you, everyone. I have just a couple of announcements. First, just to make you all aware, because it is time, it's time to do it. We're going to be moving our meetings to 6 p.m. beginning November. So November 4th, which is our, it's two meetings away, but it's our work session. We will meet at 6 p.m. And I know that's going to be nice for those of you who work. So yeah, it's time to do that. We're moving forward. It's been a good run. I've enjoyed the 4 o'clock, but we're going to be moving on to six. And the other is to let you know that with the COVID numbers, in the meeting today, what they were sharing with us, what the health department shared with us, is that we are up at 41.8%. We need to be at 25 or below. So there are more people who have been exposed, but most people are recovering. We did have one more death, so I think the total now is up to 23. But it appears what they're discovering is that most of the time people are exposed at gatherings. So family gatherings or gathering with friends, that seems to be where most people get come into contact with the virus. So kind of bear that in mind. Keep your distance if you're with a group of people. 6 feet, remember, 6 feet, wear your masks, wash your hands, and be thoughtful about that. So other than that, I think that's really all I have to share regarding that. And we will move into the proclamation. And as you heard from Lieutenant McElraith, that the city is going to participate with Cedar Willy Rise, the high school group Cedar Willy Rise, to do the drug take back on October 24th. It's a wonderful program. I do know Councilman DeYoung has participated in that. I've participated in that. Am I missing somebody who has also participated in that? Okay, so it's a good program, and we're very grateful that we have that here in the Skagit Valley. So whereas National Take Back Day is safe, convenient, environmentally friendly, and responsible way to dispose of unused or expired prescription drugs, and whereas National Prescription Drug Take Back Day strives to educate the general public about the potential for abuse of medications, and whereas opioid abuse is at epidemic levels in the United States and remains a top public health concern, and whereas over 12 million Americans age 12 and older misuse controlled prescription drugs, and majority of the abused prescription drugs were obtained from family and friends, and whereas misuse of prescription narcotic drugs, opioids, is a major public health concern, and more than 130 people die each day from opioid overdose, and whereas unused or expired prescription medications are a public safety issue leading to potential accidental poisoning, misuse, and overdose, and whereas National Prescription Drug Take Back Day is a national initiative implemented to reduce prescription drug abuse and diversion, and whereas proper disposal of unused drugs saves lives, and whereas the City of Cedar Willy Police Department, United General Hospital District 304, and the Cedar Willy Community Coalition, Cedar Willy Rise, will host a Prescription Drug Take Back Day October 24th, 2020, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. to provide an opportunity for our community to prevent drug addiction and overdose deaths. Now, therefore, I, Julia Johnson, Mayor of City of Cedar Willy, do hereby proclaim October 24th, 2020, as National Prescription Drug Take Back Day in Cedar Willy, and call upon the people of Cedar Willy to observe and participate in this event in order to reduce prescription drug abuse and diversion and prevent the number of opioid overdoses. And I just want to say, I don't know if Jada Trammell is on the Zoom meeting at all, but I just want to let her know if she is. We really thank you for organizing this, bringing it to our community, making us aware of this, and for everything that you're doing within the high school to make both students and families, parents, friends and family aware of the situation that we are dealing with at epidemic level, which is drug use, misuse, and overdose.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, City Council members, for your support. This really means a lot to our community.
Thank you, Jada. Glad to see you're here.
Jada, thank you for everything that you guys do. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Jared.
Okay, normally at this time we have public comments. The public comment is temporarily closed, but if you provide written questions or comments via email or by letter, we will read them into the record and make sure that that does become a part of our meeting. And we're hoping for the day that we can get back where we have our regular meetings. All right, so no unfinished business to deal with, but we do have new business. The first is the cemetery rates. It's the first reading. And I don't know if Nathan is here, or are you going to take this, Mark?
I can take that. Get my notes together here.
You want me to come back, Mark? I can do that if you'd like.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. So we'll move on to the next one, which is amendments to Title 17 of the Cedar Woolley Municipal Code to address model homes. First reading. And Director Coleman, I'll turn this over to you.
All right. Thank you. Good evening. Good afternoon, everyone, again. This is a fairly simple concept, and maybe it doesn't look like it because, as usual, it's one of the longer agenda, longer packet items. In the planning department, we like to be thorough, so give you lots to read. The idea here is BYK Construction had requested that the city implement a model home ordinance, which would allow them and anybody who's developing a subdivision to begin constructing single-family homes before the subdivision is actually fully complete. And so I'll back up a little and explain how the subdivision process works briefly. First, the council approves a preliminary plat, which, you know, says in general what the plat is going to look like. It's pretty well designed, but that point. And then after the council gives preliminary plat approval, then the contractor goes out and actually builds the roads, puts the sewer in the ground, brings the water in, all the utility work. And the way the process usually works is once all of the utility work is done and the roads are complete and every I has been dotted and every T has been crossed, the Public Works Department will give their blessing saying, yes, everything, all of the construction has been done, this plat is complete. Then the City Council will give it final plat approval, at which point it gets to be recorded, and then there'll be separate lots, and the road will be dedicated to the city. So before the final plat, it's really just one lot with a bunch of construction going on. But, you know, as they do the construction of the roads and as they start to get closer, it's starting to really look like a subdivision, but it just hasn't gone through the final approval process. So what developers like to do is be able to start building homes before the final process is done. And that allows them to get a leg up on the market and start building sooner and getting people into homes sooner once they are actually final. So what we've proposed is something very similar to what Mount Vernon's regulations are, to allow homes after the plat has a certain amount of construction completed. And that the Public Works Department reviewed it and this, and the Planning Commission reviewed it. And it says, you know, a certain amount of road and sidewalk and fire hydrants need to be in place before we can start issuing any model home permits. And then no no homes can be sold and nobody can take occupancy until the plat is actually completed, recorded, and the individual lots exist. So the planning department and the public works department have reviewed for technical standards to see if there's enough requirements in place before we allow the construction of any model homes, and seems to be a fair amount of comfort with what is written in this ordinance. And so the Planning Commission has recommended approval, and if the City Council has any questions, this is a first read. We'll be happy to answer any questions you have. And of course, we'll have another read at the next council meeting.
Okay, so are there any questions for Director Coleman from the council?
John, I guess I will ask one. What would be, is there any scenario where this would create any liability or anything for the city as far as if there was, you know, the developer, something fell through with the developer, or, I mean, do you ever foresee a scenario where we're going to have, you know, a model home that's built in a, you know, the development, and then say the financing falls through and we have an incomplete plat with a model home there? And
so while we try to imagine every scenario, we cannot, we've put into place requirements and regulations that would address anything that we can anticipate. For example, that scenario where you spoke, say we issue a model home permit and they start building a home before the final plat gets completed and the market collapses, and like we had in 2007 and 8, and the developer ends up walking away from the project and you have a halfway built model home. So there are provisions in this model home ordinance saying that they need to abate that, and there is mechanism for it to be removed and for the city to cause removal of a incomplete model home. As far as liability issues, I don't want to throw Nikki under the bus, but she would be the one that would be able to better answer any of the liability concerns of an ordinance such as this.
So I have not spent a lot of time with this particular ordinance. However, I am familiar with these ordinances. The last city that I worked for was Oak Harbor, and we had a similar ordinance there that was also based off of Mount Vernon's ordinance. And for the most part, these types of ordinances do transfer the risk or ensure that the risk remains on the contractor, and the city is not really, isn't really liable for anything under these types of ordinances. It is a risk that the contractor is taking, but that is, you know, their prerogative. If that's the route they want to take, then it's their risk as well. But there's also reward, I guess, from a contractor perspective, because it allows you to generate interest and increases the pre-sales typically. That's at least the way that I understand the motivation for this type of, for exercising an option to build a model home.
This is John. Thank you, Nikki, for, again, making these complicated issues understandable. There's a certain amount of reward for the city, depending on your perspective. You know, if our goal is to provide housing and to provide affordable housing especially, this allows the contractor to save money by reducing carrying costs and reducing time on projects. So in theory, that allows our housing prices to stay lower, although incrementally, I'm sure. But every little bit helps in the long run, and it gets single family homes on the market sooner, which one could argue is a good thing for the city of Cedar Willy to have a good new housing stock available soon.
Good question and great answers. Any other questions for either Director Coleman or our attorney, Nikki? Okay, hearing none, we will see this again in a couple of weeks. Moving on, stepping back to the cemetery rates. Director Freiberger is...
Yes, thank you, Mayor.
Okay.
So this is a first reading for council tonight for a proposal to adjust the cemetery rates. As noted in the memo, they haven't been adjusted since 2012. Nathan did a comparison with a number of agencies in the area, Anacortes, Burlington, Mount Vernon, and found we were significantly behind market on those rates. As you know, the cemetery is kind of a poor stepchild in terms of funding anyway, so we do want to keep these at least in the ballpark of our neighboring agencies. So the burial space numbers are given and the urn space. The columbarium walls, the niche walls are all given in there. So again, this is a first read for you, but we would like to bring this forward again at the next meeting for your possible adoption. Any questions? I'm glad to try to take them.
So any questions for Director Freiberger?
Yeah, Director Freiberger, I don't know if you, what can we make it, that was what, an $83,000 loss on the cemetery fund or something, or from the city?
Yeah, Doug can better speak to that than I. But yes, this is the one source we have for collecting fees for that. The council in the past has wanted to keep these rates reasonable as best we could, and has chosen to basically subsidize the cemetery operation. But certainly this is an area that could be adjusted more substantially if that was the council's will.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying, I'm getting closer to it all the time going out there. I'm just curious. Hopefully it said it'll reduce it. Yeah, I mean, do we anticipate maybe $20,000, $30,000 a year reduction in subsidization maybe?
Oh, I don't think it's like that. I can come up, I'll get those numbers for you for the next council meeting. I don't actually have those in front of me.
Okay, that'd be appreciated. Yeah, this is a first reading, but thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
All right, any other questions?
I have one, Madam Mayor. This is Councilman Owen for Mark.
Yeah.
Has the city ever thought about privatizing the cemetery?
Well, in the almost 3 years that I've been here, we've never had a discussion on it. I think it's been tossed out every now and then. Somebody just kind of says it, but we've never had discussion on it. Not unless I've only been here 3 years, perhaps Director Freiberger or Director Coleman, maybe somebody else could speak to it who've been here a while, if they know anything about that.
I haven't heard anything during my tenure here as well. Aaron and I have discussed the cemetery a number of times in the past. I actually have a call into him on another matter. I'll ask him if he has any institutional knowledge on that. I'm guessing that Rick Limley is probably the guy that would know that kind of an answer. So we could reach out to him as well and talk to him about it.
Yeah.
That, in my experience with other agencies, is a common way this happens, is the local funeral home will own and operate the cemeteries. So that's as much as I know at this point.
Yeah. And I do believe that Mr. Lumley, I think he has retired and sold his piece of the business. So maybe just reaching out to Lumley's Chapel in general might be the route to go.
Okay. Well, it might be something, you know, we discuss down the line, you know, if it, it's not a money making thing. The cemetery is. Sometimes I think it would be good to get the city's hands out of it, but I don't know if that's possible or not. It's just a thought. And I thank you, Mark, for your comment. And I want to congratulate you and the new rock drain over there. They've done such a nice job, and it seems to be working real good. So, again, thank you, and thank Nathan, too. So,
thank you. I'll pass that on.
You know, just a thought, if we did privatize it, maybe we'd be paid for maintaining it rather than us budgeting to maintain it. Okay, so I do not have anything else. Is there anyone who has anything for the good of the order? Okay, hearing none, you all have a wonderful evening, and we are adjourned. Thank you.